This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Monday, March 16th, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, Amy Guida has this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News. She'll discuss St. Patrick's Day. And we'll have a look at your forecast for Champaign-Urbana. First, today's news. Illinois state government faces a budget deficit so vast that filling it will almost certainly require a painful mixture of tax increases, service cuts, and creative accounting. By some estimates, the hole tops $11.5 billion. Convert that into $100 bills, and it would create a stack nearly 9 miles high. The bills would weigh 126 tons. A deficit of $11.5 billion would amount to $917 for every man, woman, and child in the state. If officials wanted to tax their way out of the hole, they would have to double the income tax. Economists say Illinois has been foolish with its money, much like a family getting careless with credit cards. For decades, for instance, it didn't keep up with pension costs, and even now it often skips payments. That makes future budgets much harder to balance. Another Illinois Republican may soon join the race for governor. Illinois Chamber of Commerce President Doug Whitley expects to make a formal announcement later this spring. Todd Feuer has more.
Whitley is on leave from the chamber and says he's been actively pursuing a run for governor since January. He says he wants a revolution of Illinois government focused on bringing jobs back to the state. Whitley says for years, Democratic leaders have lacked the courage to cut state spending and instead raise dozens of fees on businesses.
If they hadn't run literally hundreds of thousands of jobs out of the state of Illinois over the last decade, we wouldn't be looking at the kind of tax increases that our General Assembly is currently looking at.
Whitley accused Democratic lawmakers of looking for the easy way out by suggesting tax increases to eliminate an estimated $9 billion deficit. Top Democrats have proposed raising the state's gasoline tax, and Governor Pat Quinn is planning to seek an income tax hike when he announces his budget plan Wednesday, although aides say he'll also propose hundreds of millions of dollars in spending cuts. Whitley says he won't comment on any specific tax proposals until he hears the governor's plan. Republican State Senator Bill Brady of Bloomington was the first to announce a gubernatorial bid. I'm Todd Feuer.
A state legislator wants to give the public the opportunity to be more involved when state regulators decide how much utilities can charge. Amanda Vinicky has that story.
The Illinois Commerce Commission last year voted to let Ameren raise electric and gas rates. The attorney general had wanted to plead her case against it by giving an oral argument, but the commission turned her down. Democratic Representative Bob Flyter of Decatur says that was wrong and makes it appear as if the ICC was predisposed to increasing rates. He's introduced a measure that would require the commission allow anyone that desires to testify.
The ICC needs to understand how people are suffering and what they're going through. And sometimes only through those kinds of discussions and conversations before the ICC can they really get that sense.
The ICC is still reviewing the legislation, but a spokeswoman says commissioners typically only hear oral arguments if they have questions. They have a year's worth of research, including formal written arguments, at their disposal before they vote on rates. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Retailers begrudgingly went along when food makers pushed up prices to recoup record high costs. Now they're demanding price cuts to match the recent steep retreat in ingredient costs. Food makers are resisting, saying the uncertain economy and volatile costs make price cuts unwise, but retailers also aren't backing down. Food companies like Northfield-based Kraft, which has a facility in Champaign, say they're cooperating with retailers to the extent they can. Kraft says it expects ingredient costs to remain volatile, and it isn't offering broad price cuts. Kraft expects costs to rise about 10% this year from around $2 billion last year. As key items like corn and fuel are higher than in previous years, Kraft spokeswoman Lisa Gibbons says the food maker did drop some coffee and cheese prices last year to align itself with falling input costs. Chicago Mayor Richard Daley and the Reverend Jesse Jackson are calling for tougher gun control laws in the wake of the latest fatal shooting of a student in the city's public school system. Chicago police officer Daniel O'Brien's 14-year-old Gregory Robinson shooting death Friday was the 28th of a CPS student this academic year. That's two more than the number of CPS students slain in all of last year. Witnesses say Robinson was fatally shot in a car while returning from a basketball game. Officials say Robinson wasn't the intended target of the shooting. Daley says people should be outraged about the number of guns on the street. Jackson echoed those comments at a press conference, saying a portion of federal stimulus funding should go toward preventing gun violence. Two dozen police officers stood outside as a Maryville church resumed services yesterday, a week to the day after its senior pastor was shot dead while giving his Sunday sermon. Some of the Reverend Fred Winter's flock had voiced fear about whether it was safe returning to the church. To help ease such worries, the church handed out red bumper stickers marked simply with the word unafraid. The visiting Reverend Al Meredith addressed about 200 people, describing how his own Texas congregation recovered after a 1999 gunman's rampage that killed eight, including the shooter. Meredith told the congregation there was still hope. 60-year-old First Baptist member Rosanna Kosick cried through Meredith's service, but she said she's not afraid and evil will not keep her from church. Apparently, reckless adolescent behavior has been around a lot longer than people realize. As a matter of fact, it's been around a lot longer than people. University of Chicago paleontologist Paul Serino says that's one of the lessons of some recent fossil finds in the desert regions of China. Serino says a large group of adolescent and pre-adolescent dinosaurs died en masse 90 million years ago when they ran into a mud hole, sinking to their doom. Many of the 25 individuals recovered were so perfectly preserved that their last meals could be identified. Serino is scheduled to give a formal report today in the provincial capital of Inner Mongolia on the findings of the joint U.S.-Chinese expedition that found the fossils. For the latest newscast online, go to WIOL.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. It'll be a happy St. Patrick's Day for some, those who managed to catch cabbages, and a sad day for others, those who missed the cabbages by mere inches. Commentator Amy Guida explains about a protected tradition in New Orleans in this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
There is, I hear, a tradition at the St. Patrick's Day Parade in New Orleans. Those on floats do more than wave and hand out beads. They also throw cabbages. I know this because I'm a lawyer. I read the law. And here's what the law in Louisiana says. No person shall have a cause of action against any organization which presents St. Patrick's Day parades for any loss or damage caused by any member thereof or related to the parades presented by such organization, unless the loss or damage was caused by the deliberate and wanton act or gross negligence of the organization. Okay, maybe the law doesn't specifically name cabbages as the parade favor of choice. But if you find yourself navigating to a New Orleans events website, you'll see a news photo there of an older woman near a float joyously holding a cabbage aloft as Rafiki held the newborn Simba on Pride Rock. The woman the photograph's cut line reads is expressing her gratitude to the parade riders for the cabbage she caught. She likely knew that she'd get a cabbage during that parade and that with that greening might come a beaning. There are many more hands outstretched in the photograph, in fact, all begging for the vegetable with a smell so pungent, I'm getting just a bit queasy remembering my mom's kitchen on boiled cabbage day. The woman's knowledge about what was to come, in a sense, is the whole idea behind the negligence immunity provided by Louisiana's St. Patrick's Day statute. When you show up to a place where everyone is expected to know that fun-loving, float-riding volunteers hurl cabbages from moving platforms, you've got to recognize that the parade gifter's aim won't be as precise as Cy Young's. The Louisiana legislature then decided to favor those who participate in the parades over those who attend them. The St. Patrick's Day statute basically ensures that the tourism-important parades in New Orleans will continue despite an increasing litigiousness. That said, there are some who've been unwilling participants in a wearing o' the green who've attempted to sue those aboard the float from which the green sprouted. One plaintiff sued when, and I'm quoting here, he was hit in the face by a blow pop and then a cabbage thrown from a float. The cabbage was of the rock-solid variety, he complained, and it cut his lip and damaged his front teeth. He argued that the group that threw the cabbage had failed to act as reasonable people. The court recognized that, yes, some in the group had been admonished not to throw cabbages or potatoes, but ultimately decided that cabbages were a common throw and so covered by the immunity statute, no liability. That opinion echoed a case from a few years before in which the plaintiff had argued unsuccessfully that cabbage throwing in itself was grossly negligent. Gross negligence? Not so, wrote the court during the St. Patrick's Day parade in New Orleans. So parade goers in the Big Easy who find the luck of the Irish is not with them when the cabbages fly must take their lumps. Thanks to the Louisiana legislature, there will be no pot of gold at the end of the legal rainbow. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. expect mostly cloudy skies in our forecast today. Scattered showers this morning and mostly sunny this afternoon, the high around 65. Mostly clear tonight, the low around 42. Mostly sunny Tuesday, the high around 72. Partly cloudy Tuesday evening, the low around 48. Partly sunny Wednesday, a chance of showers with the high in the lower 60s. Colder Wednesday evening, mostly cloudy, a chance of showers, the low around 38. Partly cloudy Thursday through Saturday night, the high around 52 degrees, the lows around 33. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, March 16th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.